Hi again, Anchor. So today we're going to talk a little bit about Francis Crick, who is the man who discovered DNA, right? And we're going to talk also a little bit about a man named James Pennebaker, who does writing therapies and thinking therapies to people who are suffering from cancer. He works a lot out of, I think, Georgetown in Washington, D.C. They have a special writing program there. And we're also going to talk a little bit about genetic computers. We'll touch upon that. And MAPS recently, which is a psychedelic research organization, had an article in Time magazine about the drug wars. And research and the government and psychedelics. Okay, so Francis Crick, he discovered DNA decades and decades ago now. There's an interesting article about him from a few years ago in the New York Times, so you can look up a little biography if you'd like to in the New York Times. But before he discovered DNA, and you can read tons of books on him and conspiracy too, he experimented with lysergic acid, LSD, right? This was very popular during the Vietnam generation. A lot of people, both in the military and also the hippies, they called them, experimented with this drug. And the Central Intelligence Agency did lots of research. There's a section on that exhibit I talked about that's on at the Met Breuer with the CIA conspiracy connection and LSD also. There's some work with LSD in one of the rooms there. Yeah, so Francis Crick, before he discovered DNA and won the Nobel Prize in science, he did LSD. And he discovered LSD through partially working in a lab, but also partially through vision he was receiving that some might argue are on the level of receiving visions of a genetic computer material, right? Because if you look on genetic computers today, if you're in a certain energy or biogrid, they even do DNA rescripting with computers, and it's really inexpensive, and you can hook yourself up to a computer, and they can rewrite your genetic codes into healthier ones. If you have a cancer, they can rewrite it. Okay? So they have these in some government-sanctioned protective communities, and they also have them in rogue communities. They have them in both, and sometimes they're used for the positive and sometimes for the negative, depending on what they're kept by, the programming. But he's receiving this, and he can see stuff in his mind, and a lot of it, they might argue, is because of the psychedelic. And he might even be having a precognitive experience with technology, or it might be from something else that already exists and is interacting with us, and he can see something that other people cannot see. And this might be part of the reason why he discovered DNA. And in the New York Times article, it states that he did LSD before winning the Nobel Prize and discovering DNA. Okay? So, what does this mean? I mean, sometimes in psychedelic research, if you look into it, people sometimes can see things either ahead of time or from a more advanced civilization, sometimes with more advanced beings giving them information, like it's being written to them on a computer or some kind of virtual reality is telling them to something, or some more advanced race is handing them to something. And sometimes they believe what we dream in might be slightly psychedelic, and it might always be produced in our brains a little bit. And that might be why the government studies it. They give grants to an organization called MAPS.org, which you can look up online. And they allow them to do psychedelic research. And the government's done tons. My dad was in the Vietnam War, and he's done some psychedelics when he was much younger. And some marijuana. And he still gets government and military benefits. He's still alive. He's in his 70s. He still has memories of the war, and sometimes keeps a photo album of the Vietnam War. He still remembers it. And he remembers taking a psychedelic or marijuana. And so there are tons of people from that generation that are still alive. And I believe that the government allows to do this research because they believe there are different kinds of humans. And if you study the brain on computer, you'll see there are different, sometimes there are different levels of biogrids with different types of brains. And sometimes there are different kinds of medium receivers. And sometimes I think they're being used for different kind of energies. If they break through to a higher level threshold of computers, design, and brain technology, or medicine, or even psychical information. Sometimes people don't even break through to those, and they're just a receiver, and they're really gifted psychically. Or they just understand things, and it helps the reality invisibly. And they think they're a different kind of head than people that maybe haven't tried these. You know, and they might be a really nice teacher that never tried these and, you know, really makes the kids feel good, but isn't that psychical, right? Those are really great, too. But the government actually sanctions this research. It's strange because there's a war on drugs, but they like to do psychedelic research. So there's a differentiation between something like psychedelics, right? They don't really sanction too much on cocaine or research beyond addiction, right? We know that Freud did a lot of cocaine, and he was really famous psychoanalytic, one of the most famous ones, right? But they don't really do too much with that beyond addiction. Whereas with the psychedelic, they're always researching the mind and sanctioning government grants and psychical research and also if it changes people's energy, right? It regulates. It can make somebody less outgoing, more outgoing sometimes, and more confident. And they sanction this. Cocaine can do that also, according to research, but they don't do as much with research with cocaine as they do with MAPS.org. So that means something, that the government's actually acknowledging this. But there is a war on drugs, right? So what is that? And what was it with the Vietnam War? Okay. So they go to the jungle, which is a plant culture. And obviously, if you think psychedelically, that's another reality. Right? If you take a psychedelic, some people report that they could see otherworldly beings. The jungle would have different beings than if you go walk in the streets in New York City. Right? They'd be different kinds of otherworldly beings if they're communicating with us. So it all means something. And the plants come from the jungles. A lot of the psychedelics come from jungles and they extract them. And this is during the time when a lot of people are doing psychedelics and they're going to a war there. So that's a mirror, right? And when something's telling a higher level truth, sometimes it talks through them. And that's one. So after Francis Crick discovered DNA, modern medicine changed, right? And he discovered partially in a lab, partially through vision. And again, he tried a psychedelic. He was not put in a prison. He won the Nobel Prize. Right? And the CIA has tons of studies that you can research that they gave psychedelics to men in the military. And also average citizens that they said signed up for their studies. And a lot of them lived many, many years and decades after that. Right? And they still to this day have tons of different plants. You can go on maps.org again and see that they still research people. So it's about the human mind. And maybe there's more to it than just what we see in the reality construct we're given to. Maybe mental illness isn't as simple as just the DSM. With advancements in technologies, maybe sometimes there are cross wirings. Maybe something with psychedelics is saying sometimes it's chemical too. And they can alter the brain and perception of reality chemically, or the shape of the brain chemically. So that people are different kinds of receivers of realities. And they're different, again, biogrids and energy grids, and the government acknowledges this with the NIH and the CIA. When I was in grad school, I did research on a man named James Pennebaker, who, like I said, does writing therapies at Georgetown Hospital in Washington, D.C., with cancer patients. And he sits with them, or he has practitioners of his work that sit with him, and them, and just them. And they're given certain writing exercises to reflect on their life and certain things that made them feel in the positive, and to really write on them. And a lot of them extend their life with this program. Now, is it just because it's making them feel a little better? Because if they sat at home alone, right, and they did a meditation, they might get better if they really believe in themselves and they really reflect, and they might. But there might be something to the group coming together, sitting in a certain facility, doing a writing therapy that's acknowledged by practitioners internationally, that's won awards, by a man that's well known in the medicine fields. And they're sitting in a hospital setting that uses computer spellers. If they're in a government-sanctioned grid in Washington, D.C., then they're kept safe by the government and privacy laws. But they have computers in there, and they sometimes even put their brains and body parts on these computers. And he's saying, let's write together and reflect on this, and some people get better. So that's real. Even if it's old-fashioned, there's something that's doing something with them of the otherworldly that's healing them through writing and just thinking in a different way. And it works. And there's tons of data on this. So it's partially from the invisible, probably, possibly something with technology of a higher reality. I'd even argue that. And also, it's doing different energy rhythms with them and feeling patterns, so that something's getting corrected with a group. And it's saying this is acknowledged as it works. So something's correcting something in them. Right? And that can be, again, technology, or it can be something even maybe more advanced. Maybe something from another reality even more advanced. It's otherworldly being, or who knows? Right? Or maybe it's really just that our minds are so powerful. And maybe it's just that our energy shifts, if we can, as reflecting together while writing, is really powerful. And the individual is really powerful, and there's so many realities from an individual, and if they learn to shift their energy through certain types of therapy like writing, that they can heal the body. So it's also validating something of the invisible, pulling from the invisible, like Francis Crick did, right? He found some findings in a lab again, but he's also receiving visions. And today with genetics on computers, everything he was receiving is a computer program. And they can re-script DNA on a computer. Now, computers are an extension of human consciousness. We created computers, right? But who created us? Right? Some people believe in old world religions. Who knows? Maybe something higher level technology, and on. Maybe we're eternal beings, and it's always with technology, and we're extensions of consciousness working with each other from other realities, and some are higher and some are lower again, right? So, ultimately, I think the two are really interesting as a comparison for working with people with genetic rescripting from the old-fashioned and doing writing with something like James Pennebaker. And also even more old-world with Francis Crick making this discovery with DNA, and today with rescripting and writing new DNA code on computers. And as we move forward, we'll become more advanced with genetics, but there are obviously always wars with drugs, with eugenics, like in World War II, and whole populations being stolen, with people maybe being stolen by drugs too in other realities, if they're different biomatrices, right? And some people are of value even if they've tried something like a psychedelic and they win the Nobel. Some people, you know, might get killed if they tried the wrong reality receiver. They might get kidnapped and killed. It really depends on the reality and what's going on. So I think there needs to be a higher level of understanding and tolerance for the human race to advance and keep advancing. And these, again, might be eternal truths. And I think that it's all possible. As long as we're still in the light and we still have technology and we still can keep working and learning, as long as there are other people still in it, no matter how imperfect your reality, I think that there's always therapies that can be learned to heighten the human condition, to further the human condition, right? And there needs to be both with genetics and also creative and also technology. And so it's a merger before a movement of the human race. And we're delicate beings, right? And we have so many realities within us. Right? So not to be scared of technology or people, but to be a little careful, but also to live, right? And to trust in something higher, because people die every day, and who knows, right? So it's to sit with that and start thinking about reading about those three different types and how that's the forward movement of the, I think, of the human race and its well-being. Okay. Thanks again for tuning in tonight, Anchor. And I hope you have yourselves all a great evening. Thanks.